Thank you very much. I wish I was an associate professor, but I'm not yet. I'm on tenure track, so hopefully I'm an assistant professor. So I wouldn't want that getting back that I said the wrong rank. but maybe sometime I'll come back here and actually be an associate professor. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge that this study was financed by an internal grant at the University of Illinois. It was a campus research grant that I got last year that financed this, and it actually financed a research assistant, and so I would like to give credit to my research assistant, Mary Beth Ruiz, who is also one of my doctoral students, and she helped analyze the data for this project. Okay. So the objectives of this paper are to discuss how the data can be used to determine trends in healthcare access for women with disabilities and to describe the differences in healthcare access for women with disabilities when compared to women without disabilities and men with disabilities. And if any of you were at the talk this morning that talked about AHRQ was there, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation was there talking about healthcare disparities. They talked a lot about racial and ethnic disparities, but healthcare access disparities for people with disabilities is still kind of on the horizon and kind of still an understudied population and overlooked a little bit. However, there are some publications that have looked at disparities with people with disabilities and access, and one of them is Healthy People 2010, which lists promoting the health of people with disabilities, one of the goals anyway, preventing the onset of secondary complications and eliminating health disparities between people with and without disabilities as an issue that requires further attention. And when they had their recent mid-course review, similar to a lot of the other disparities that were outlined in Healthy People 2010, there's still a long way to go as far as looking at inequities for people with disabilities. In the 2005 call to action, the Surgeon General identified key factors affecting the health and well-being of citizens in the U.S. living with disabilities and called politicians as well as healthcare professionals to focus attention on decreasing and eventually eliminating these disparities. So what are some of the problems encountered by people with disabilities as far as health and healthcare? Working-age persons with disabilities are hospitalized 12 times as many days per year and acquire over 7 times the health care costs per year compared to persons without disabilities. And given equal health status, persons with disabilities utilize about 2 to 3 times the number of professional health care services. The Institute of Medicine defines access as the timely use of personal health services to achieve the best possible health outcomes. Parrish defined 3 significant barriers as far as healthcare access: environmental barriers, process barriers, and structural barriers. Environmental barriers include such things as office accessibility, being able to get in and out of the medical office or health professional office, things like parking, getting in the entryway, accessible restrooms, which you think wouldn't be an issue in a medical facility or health facility but appear to be an issue. Waiting rooms, examination rooms, and diagnostic equipment, so like mammograms, pap testing, other pieces of equipment which may not be accessible for people who are like in wheelchairs and have mobility problems. Process barriers involve things like delivery of services. So this could be lack of provider knowledge about the person's disability, even though they might be seeing a physician like an OBGYN for a mammogram, but that OBGYN may not be well versed on the problems with that person's physical or cognitive or developmental disability in order to provide care in the best way. And also timeliness of service. We've all probably waited at the doctor more than our scheduled time. But there's a lot of other things like transportation and all those other things that kind of get in the way with the timeliness of service. Also, interpreters are often not available for people who have who are deaf or have hearing impairments, or people who have visual impairments and don't have alternative formats for things like Braille. So there's a lot of issues with process barriers. And then the last structural barrier is referring to a lack of financial coverage for all the necessary services. A lot of people with disabilities are part of the uninsured, part of the underinsured, and those who have insurance a lot of times is Medicare, Medicaid. A lot of physicians don't want to take those, so they have a lot of problems in that area. In addition, there have been some issues regarding cost, which a lot of us have also, I mean, that a lot of populations also deal with. 32% had difficulty accessing prescription drugs because of cost. Dental care, 29%. Equipment, a lot of this is durable medical equipment. Mental health services, and 17%, and home care, 16%. All right. For women with disabilities, they have even more difficult problems with health and health care. They experience worse health care and worse preventative care than women without disabilities. And although most studies have shown that they usually have a usual source of care, are more likely to have a usual source of care, but despite that, they still have difficulty with health and preventative care. Women with disabilities are more likely to postpone needed medical care than women without disabilities, 19% versus 8% respectively, and more likely to postpone acquiring needed medications than women without disabilities, 20% versus 6% respectively. So the purpose of this study was to examine disparity in access to health care due to costs using the 2005 Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. Disability was determined by the activity limitation question. Are you limited in any way in any activities due to a healthcare condition? Obviously, I looked at gender, age, educational level, high school grad versus or less versus some college employment, whether they're employed or not. Marital status, which is really in the BRFSS relationship status, so I should have changed that slide, because I basically looked at coupled versus non-coupled, and coupled could also be in a relationship, and race and ethnicity. The questions regarding healthcare access, or regarding health, have to do with how would you rate your general health? What kind of do you have healthcare coverage? Do you have an identified personal physician? What's the period of time since your last checkup? Have you ever had a mammogram? How long since your last mammogram? Have you ever had a Pap test? And how long since your last Pap test? The outcome variable was there ever a time in the past 12 months when you needed to see a doctor but could not because of cost? The analysis consisted of a chi-square to determine the relationship between healthcare access between women with and without disabilities and women and men with disabilities. A regression analysis was also completed to determine variables that predict lack of access to healthcare and likelihood of lack of access to healthcare. And these were, the second was expressed as odd ratios with 95% confidence interval. The results show that compared to women without disabilities, women with disabilities were more likely to be older, Caucasian, less educated, coupled, and unemployed. Uncoupled and unemployed. And the women with disabilities were more likely to rate their health as fair to poor and less likely to have had a mammogram or Pap test within the past year. Women with disabilities were more likely not to have seen a physician due to cost, but were more likely to have a personal doctor than women without a disability, which matches the literature. Then when the comparison was done with men with disabilities, women with disabilities, and men with disabilities, women with disabilities were more likely to rate their health as fair to poor and delay a visit to a physician due to cost. Women with disabilities were more likely than men with disabilities to have a health insurance, however, have a personal doctor, and have had a personal checkup in the past year than men with disabilities. So they actually had a personal doctor. Their health wasn't as good. Okay. Looking at the statistical analysis, most of the demographics we looked at were significant predictors of not seeking health care. The biggest one was having a health plan, which makes some sense. Also, But activity limitation and gender were predictive. Age was predictive. Actually, all of them were predictive, but the highest ones were activity limitation, gender, age, general health, and having a health plan. We looked at odds ratios. Activity limitation, having a disability increased your chance of not accessing health care by twice as much. And age also the same. Having a health plan was actually a protective effect against not accessing health care. Women with disabilities, so therefore, what these results are saying, kind of generally, women with disabilities show that less access to health care when compared to women without disabilities and men with disabilities. Disability was a stronger predictor than gender, and actually, if any of you heard my talk earlier this week, this is sort of the same kind of thing. Gender is important, but it seems like the disability is actually has kind of an equalizing effect on some of the problems with access. It also, disability also increases the likelihood of lack of access, more so than gender, but gender still is a pretty strong predictor for both models. So therefore, the problems of access shown in this research are similar to previous studies with regard to disparities for people with disabilities. However, results suggest that women with disabilities do experience these disparities more than men with disabilities. The implications are, though, that those who lack access to quality care can have a reported strained social relationships, changes in social roles, social participation, depression, frustration, stress, devaluation, deterioration of health, and financial strain, further deterioration of health. This lack of access also has an effect on the U.S. population. With access to health care, individuals with disabilities are less likely to acquire secondary conditions and functional losses, and provision of adequate medical care, rehab services, and durable medical equipment would be expected to lower public and private health care expenditures in the long run. A lot of times, not in the short run, but in the long run. Therefore, traditional strategies need to be reexamined. Disability-specific approaches need to be developed to increase the affordability of healthcare through promotion of education, vocational training, job placement, and career advancement, especially for women with disabilities who are at greater disadvantage. Efforts need to be made to identify women with functional difficulties and improve their ease and convenience of getting to the doctor, the availability of care off hours, access to specialists, and follow-up care received. And we need to look at a removal of the barriers, the ones that they were talking about. Environmental barriers, of course, are the easiest to change. Ramps are probably the thing that have come out most from the ADA. But there needs to be a lot more besides just physical accessibility. Educational training needs to be provided for all healthcare professionals, involving women with disabilities as active participants in order to improve the healthcare professionals' understanding of the issues and improve the quality of care. As usual, going to the source and saying, what would make this experience better for you? Healthcare professionals should advocate for more parity and healthcare access for people with disabilities, but especially for the most vulnerable populations, women with disabilities. And policies need to provide funding for needed prescription medication, mental health counseling, and basic dental and vision services. Strengths of this study were that it's a large data set. The BRFSS is a statewide random digit dialed survey, and it's proven to be reliable. It's proven to be valid, so in that way, it's public. Like I said, it's publicly available. It's very easy to access. The limitations of the BRFSS are that it only talks about non-institutionalized populations. So this is really people who are sort of out in the population, and it doesn't talk about people who are institutionalized. Their definition of disability is activity limitation, so therefore it could be leaving out some people, and it could be including some people that traditionally might not be considered people with disabilities. And also the definitions of healthcare access. I know when I've submitted these papers for publication comment that comes back is that, you know, how do you know that this really means healthcare access? And so because future research will be looking at the types of functional limitations and barriers encountered. So really kind of looking at access specifically by type of functional limitation. And so this one kind of just had this very sort of broad stroke about activity limitation. So maybe looking at physical limitations versus cognitive limitations versus some other limitations. And also specifically at types of barriers that are encountered. And also then hopefully ending up with development of screenings and interventions to overcome these. The research is fine, but let's do something about it. And then finally, training for healthcare professionals. Those are all my references. Not all of them. Those are selected ones. And thanks for your time.